I'm Umbreen Khan, and this is Inspired by Interfaith Voices. Each week, we explore the role of religion and beliefs in our world, shaping our culture, our politics, and the events unfolding around us. Religion reporters are quick to point out, whether you see it or not, religion is often part of the story. And that's absolutely true this election season. The battle to get souls to the polls is underway.
Upon taking office, I will create a new federal task force on fighting anti-Christian bias. It's become a very big term, anti-Christian bias. Its mission will be to investigate all forms of illegal discrimination, harassment, and persecution against Christians in America. As president, I will once again appoint rock-solid conservative judges in the mold of Justices Antonin Scalia and the great Clarence Thomas, who's doing a phenomenal job.
That's former President Trump at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference back in February in Nashville, Tennessee. But it's not just Republicans. President Biden was standing in the pulpit at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, before that state's primary, as he stood at the lectern surrounded by clergy and elected leaders, boisterous cheers erupted.
Thank you. It's going to go to my head.
To be clear, please, their messages were not the same. They were, in fact, very different.
Our North Star as a nation is the very idea of America, at once the most simple and most powerful idea in the history of the world. We're all created in the image of God equally. We deserve to be treated equally throughout our lives. That covets a covenant we made with each other, a covenant we've never fully lived up to, but we never fully walked away from either. And faith and history teach us that however dark the night, joy cometh in the morning. And that joy comes with commands from Scripture. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And love your neighbor as thyself. Not so easy. It's hard.
But they both leaned in to Christian metaphors and biblical references. Each sought to convey that God's faithful are on their side. A new poll from the Pew Research Center takes a closer look at how Americans feel about religion in public life. Conducted in the midst of primary season in mid-February online, the survey includes more than 10,000 respondents, and the sample was weighted to ensure that the findings are representative of the U.S. adult population. Joining me from the Pew Research Center to discuss all this and more is Greg Abbott, the Associate Director of Research. Greg, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just start with the big finding here.
Well, in this latest survey, 80% of U.S. adults tell us they think religion is losing influence in American life. That's as high or higher than at any previous time since we've been measuring this question going back several decades now.
Greg, how do you explain the unhappiness, especially when so many are disaffiliating, leaving organized religion, or just vocalizing concern about the rise of religious extremism?
Well, these findings are consistent with a lot of research we've done in the past. Americans largely say that religion plays a variety of important good roles in American life. In previous surveys, we find, for instance, that lots of Americans say they think religion helps people find meaning and purpose in their lives. Large numbers of people say they think religion helps people treat each other well. So this is not a new thing. Now, that's not to say that people don't have concerns about religion. They certainly do. Many people also think that religion can cause intolerance or division, or that it can encourage superstitious thinking. And many people can hold both sorts of considerations in their mind at the same time. It's not entirely positive, but on balance, yes, Americans have long told us that they think religion is a force for good in society.
Were there any groups that felt differently, that it doesn't play a positive role and that it isn't a force for good?
There are. We know, for example, that one of the large and growing groups in the American population, in the U.S. population, are people who have no religion. people who describe themselves as atheist or agnostic or nothing in particular with respect to religion in our surveys. That's a big and growing group. In our latest data, almost 3 in 10 Americans tell us they have no religion.
Is that the group known as the nuns, N-O-N-E-S?
It certainly is. I was just about to say, we sometimes call this group the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. I'm glad you spelled it. It's really important to get the spelling right. Very different than nuns spelled other ways. But yes, the religiously unaffiliated religious nuns have very different views on a lot of questions about religion's role in public life. They're much less positive in general when it comes to their perspective on whether religion is a force for good or bad in society. We asked respondents how much influence, if any, they think the Bible should have on U.S. laws. Should the Bible have a lot of influence, some influence, only a little influence, or no influence? And then we took people who answered that question by saying they think the Bible should have at least some influence on U.S. laws. And we asked that group a follow-up question. Well, what if the Bible and the will of the people conflict with each other? In that case, which should have more influence on U.S. laws? Is it the Bible or is it the will of the people? And what we see when we put all those questions together is that the public is pretty much split right down the middle in terms of whether the Bible should have influence on U.S. laws. Half of the public, half of Americans, say yes, they do want the Bible to have at least some influence on U.S. laws. The other half of the public says no, they think the Bible should have little or no influence on U.S. laws. If we drill down even further, we can see that 28% of Americans, about a quarter of U.S. adults, tell us they think the Bible should have influence on U.S. laws, and furthermore, if it conflicts with the will of the people, the Bible should take priority.
What's been the reaction to that finding?
I'll tell you, one of the questions we most often get is, well, which group said the Bible should have a lot of influence and that it should even supersede the will of the people? And there we can point to a couple of groups. White evangelical Protestants in particular are one of the groups that's most likely to say they want biblical influence on U.S. laws. And furthermore, if it conflicts with the will of the people, the Bible should take priority. But white evangelical Protestants are not alone in expressing that view. Many Black Protestants and Hispanic Protestants share that perspective as well.
Okay, so this group of Americans holds a view that their interpretation of the Bible, whatever that might mean, should supersede. And I want to be really careful about what we know and don't know. In other words, the group of Christians that responded in this way did not develop like one agreed upon interpretation. So putting that aside for a moment, how does this compare with other people of faith from different traditions?
Most Jewish Americans, most Muslim Americans, they do not agree with that idea, nor do people who have no religion. In fact, the big majority of religiously unaffiliated Americans, 80% of them, tell us they think the Bible should have little or no influence on the laws of the land at all.
You also explored the influence of party identity. Talk about that.
Oh, yes. There are big differences between Republicans and Democrats in the way they answer these questions about the role of Christianity in public life. Republicans are much more likely than Democrats on average to say that the Bible should have a big influence in U.S. laws, even if it conflicts with the will of the people. Republicans are also more likely than Democrats to say they think the federal government should declare Christianity the official law of the United States. And Republicans are also more likely than Democrats to say they think the government should stop enforcing separation of church and state.
Can you break that down? What are the percentages exactly? How widespread is this belief?
I'm glad you asked about the exact figures, because even though Republicans are more likely than Democrats to express those opinions, those are minority opinions, even among Republicans. So, for example, 21% of Republicans tell us they think the government should declare the United States to be a Christian nation. They should declare Christianity the official religion of the United States. And 23% of Republicans tell us they think the government should stop enforcing separation of church and state. That's higher than what we see among Democrats, but it's still far short of a majority of Republicans who express that view.
Did you look at Christian nationalism, which has been a term of art that is very fuzzy in the way that people understand it. And I say fuzzy in the most scientific way one can, which is that depending on who you're talking to, that phrase means something different.
It certainly does. In this survey, we actually don't have a group that we can point to and say, here are Christian nationalists, because there's no single definition of it. However, the survey does shed some light on these questions. So one question we asked was, we asked people, how much, if anything, have you heard or read about Christian nationalism? We actually use that phrase. And what we find is that about a little more than half of the public says they've heard little or nothing at all about Christian nationalism. And that number hasn't changed at all since we first asked that question a year and a half ago. We also drilled down and we asked the people who have heard about Christian nationalism what they think of it. Do you have a favorable or an unfavorable view? There again, we see a picture of absolute stability over the last year and a half or so. 5% or so of American adults tell us they've heard of Christian nationalism and they have a favorable view of it. About a quarter of the public, five times that many people, tell us they've heard of Christian nationalism and they have an unfavorable view of it.
Hmm. Did you take a closer look at the perception of how these views manifest in public schools?
We did, at least partially. So we asked a couple of questions on the survey. We asked people whether or not they think conservative Christians have gone too far in trying to impose their religion through the government and public schools. And then we also asked people whether they think non-religious liberals, secular liberals, have gone too far trying to keep religion out of government and public schools. And what we see in those questions is that about half of the public says yes to each one. About half of Americans say they think conservative Christians have gone too far trying to impose their religion in the government and schools. And half the public says they think secular liberals have gone too far trying to keep religion out of government and the schools. People on each side think the other side has gone too far. There are other indications in the survey that this is part of a broader sense of tension that people are feeling between their own personal religious beliefs and convictions and what they see as the prevailing standards of society around them. So we can see, for example, that there are increases in the share of Americans who say they think there's a lot of tension between their own religious beliefs and broader American society. We can see there's an increase in the share of Americans who think of themselves as a minority because of their religious beliefs. And that's true across a bunch of different religious groups. We can see in other surveys, we've seen that large numbers of people on both sides of the political aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, tell us they think their side has been losing politically on the issues that matter to them. So I think these other questions about large numbers of non-religious liberals who think conservative Christians are going too far trying to impose their religion, and the large numbers of conservative Christians who say the same thing about secular liberals, it's part of this broader sense we see among a lot of groups that in some ways their own perspectives aren't necessarily reflected in the society around them.
It sounds a lot like the politics of vulnerability.
I think that's right. And we see it in this survey in the sense that across a bunch of different religious groups, there are increases in the share of people who say there's tension, there's conflict between their own religious beliefs and mainstream American culture. It's not just one or two religious groups. We see it across the board.
It would be logical to expect that a person who is a member of a religious tradition or wisdom tradition that is really underrepresented in the American religious landscape would feel that way. Symbols, language, metaphors, rhetoric may not be as prevalent. But in a society like ours, what is striking about what you're saying is that it's widespread. And the overwhelming majority of respondents in this poll are identifying as Christian.
Yes. So, and what we see in the data is that there are some big differences across groups. White evangelical Protestants are the most likely to say that. 71% of white evangelical Protestants think there's at least some conflict between their own religious beliefs and broader American society. But they are not alone. 59% of Jewish respondents say the same thing, as do 57% of Muslim respondents, and 40% of people who say they have no religion. So there's, to be sure, big differences between those groups, but there's sizable numbers in every group who say there's a conflict between their own religious values and broader American society.
For those who are listening who are saying, I want to have a conversation about this, how likely are they going to find a conversation partner to dive into it?
Well, golly, that depends on people's own family circles and friendship circles. One of the things we see in the data, though, is that Americans increasingly tell us that if they find themselves disagreeing with someone about religion, they think the best thing to do is to just stop talking about it. About 4 in 10 Americans tell us that if they find themselves in disagreement with somebody about religion, they think the best thing to do is to just drop the issue. And that's up since the last time we asked this question a few years ago. Now, there's a lot of people who tell us the thing they think the better thing to do is to discuss the issue and sort of try to understand the other person's perspective. Even if they ultimately agree to disagree, there's still something to be gained from trying to understand where the other person is coming from. But still, the number of people who say it's best to just drop it, just avoid it, is going up.
Greg is also an author. He wrote in 2008, Politics in the Parish, The Political Influence of Catholic Priests. If you go to this week's show notes, you can find links to his bio and the research that he referenced in this week's show. You're listening to Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices. We'll be back after this short break. Hi, friends. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our community. I don't know if you know this, but we are on the air all the way from Richmond, Virginia to Ketchikan, Alaska, and in so many places in between. We're a national show, and we are a small and mighty team committed to bringing you stories and sounds from around the world that convey not only the diversity and the pluralism of our country, but the beliefs that are shaping our world, our politics, our culture, and the ideas that sustain us and inspire us to think about where we are going. And that brings me to this question. If you value us, if you enjoy listening and appreciate what you're hearing, I want to ask you to take a moment to consider becoming a sustaining member of Interfaith Voices or make a one-time donation at interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. That's interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. Thank you, and let's get back to the show.